Blog Talk Radio.
We are victorious. We are victorious. Nothing can conquer us. We are.
Thank you.
wound lodged in our head. We want to go down to the heart. Amen. God wants us to partnership. God wants us to get that idea of partnership with him to reclaim and redeem the world. The Bible says, if my people, that's what the 2 Chronicles 7:14 is saying. I'm going to read that and then I'm going to pray. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. In this scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, God has called his people to be his priests or intercessors. This refers to the entire body of Christ, not just an elite group of people, of intercessor prayer warriors in the church. We all have the power. We all, as born-again believers, have the power to bring God's will on earth so the world can be healed and transformed by his grace. God's will can be executed only through mankind's cooperation. That's a note right there. As we talk about how understand how to respond to global crisis, one of the dynamics of prayer, I will write that down. One of the dynamics of prayer is that God's will can be executed only through mankind's cooperation. Yeah, that's a note right there. It says prayer is the medium of cooperation. It is therefore the most important activity of humanity. That's another note. Those two main notes right there is showing us how we ought to respond to the global crisis. Amen? So we ought to use the purpose and position God has given you, he's given us, to invite heaven's intervention on earth. And that's through prayer. So prepare your heart, mind, soul, strength to agree wholly that God's will be done on earth until the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. That's Revelation 11:15. Yeah, you might have heard me say that before, but I believe God wants us to really understand that that is the response to global crisis. He designed it that way, that as we prepare our heart, mind, soul, and strength to agree wholly with God, with his will, that his will be done on earth until when? The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Come on now. You're talking about responding to a global crisis. And this is the response. Because there's two things that two notes that we just took that is very important. The first one was that God's will can be executed only through mankind's cooperation, and prayer is the medium of cooperation and is therefore the what? The most important activity in humanity. My. That is the strategic strategy God uses. And we don't see how important that really is. And that's something that we really need to understand how important that is. Because God designed it that way. That's the only way it's going to work according to his agenda, according to his plan. For his intervention in the earth is that we, man, must pray. It's very important. The most important activity of humanity. Say that again, the most important captivity of humanity. You're talking about global crisis. You're talking about God. You're talking about inviting heaven's intervention on earth. That's what we're talking about. This ain't no just words. We're talking about his kingdom come, his will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. My, my, my. Are we just saying words, or we just, you know, they just go across our tongue and we don't really mean what we, are we mental sensing, or are we really praying from our heart with understanding, because you got to understand before they come from your heart, that this is real. What you're speaking is what shall become with understanding. Amen? Because without the understanding, you're ineffective. You don't know how you're praying, what you're praying for, and all those things. Because if you don't know the kingdom of God, as we're praying, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying to the Father. His kingdom come. Do we know what we're saying? So, if you don't know the kingdom, how can you pray according to his will? And it tells us that we pray with confidence as we pray according to his will. That the prayers that we have petitioned, that we have them already. You can't do that if you don't know the will of the Father, which is the kingdom of God in the beginning. My, before the foundation of the world. Amen? Oh, no, amen. You don't understand. Keep coming, because it'll get there. Keep digging, keep coming, keep seeking. So, the earth, well, I pray, is dependent on you to pray. Your children's children are dependent on you to pray. All the creation is dependent on you. You and I, talking about myself too, to pray. Heaven is dependent on us to pray. Amen? Father, as we come, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, this great opportunity, Lord, to seek your face, to pray, turn from our wicked ways, Lord God, that we would humble ourselves before you, that your will be done in the earth, that we would, that you would hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. Lord, have your way, Lord. Have your mighty way. Your will be done. Use us, Lord. Send us. And use us in prayer to touch the people around us. Use us in prayer to see your will accomplished in our families, our churches, our jobs, our schools and neighborhoods, our state and our country. We are yours, Lord. Use us. In Jesus' name, have your mighty way. We thank you that we decree and declare that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold. Oh, we thank you, Lord. And that anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we would cast down every vain imagination in the name of Jesus. And we submit and subject ourselves, our mind, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Oh, have your way, Lord. Have your mighty way. Oh, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Pray, thank you for the grace to submit our minds to your Lordship through the process of obedience. Oh, yes, and discipline, Lord, in our lives. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. By your grace that we can do this. Your mercy upon us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We decree and declare that the everyone that would hear this message, that they would their ears would be healed, eyes would be healed, Lord God. that you enlighten the eyes of our understanding, and that you would give us the wisdom and the knowledge of yourself, for your word itself. And so we thank you for this privilege and graceful time to be with you, Lord, to be under the sound of your voice, of your word, that we would be partakers of your divine nature, and that through this message tonight, that we would take in and partake in what you have prepared for us to understand about global crisis and what is our part. We know you're going to do your part, Lord, so have your way in our lives, that we would do what we are supposed to be doing, that we would glorify you in the earth, that we will magnify you, that your will be done, that lives will be changed. Not only lives, cities and communities, homes, families, Lord God, will be changed. So as your conduit, Lord God, that we will launch out under your instruction, that your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. So we continue to pray that your kingdom come. We continue to pray that your will be done in the earth, in us, as it is in heaven. Have your mighty way, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Nothing like him. Hallelujah. Thank you everybody for being here. Get ready. Let's get to work now. Amen, amen. Now we're talking about understanding the global crisis, how to respond to global crisis, and we know some of the Word of God has said that some things is going to happen in the global crisis. And he's telling us how to respond. And that 2 Chronicles 7:14 is one of the ways. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. And we already, the first two notes that we've taken is that that prayer is the most important activity, humanity. And that God is we are man. That's the only way God is going to do these things, because of the cooperation of mankind. And how we're doing it? We're doing it through prayer. A lot of people think prayer doesn't work. Well, you're already in trouble if you think that. So that's why we need to repent. There needs to be a repentance in our thinking about prayer. It needs to be not only a repentance, it needs to be a teaching of what God said prayer is, not what man is and the result that we got before, because we didn't truly understand and made us ineffective in that a lot of our prayers were ceiling prayers. You know, to the ceiling and back down, because we didn't know. Now we're learning. That's how you know. You learn. You come and learn. You seek. You take notes. Because even the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. He'll show you that in Matthew 6:9 Matthew 6:9 I think it's 14 or 15, something like that. And he tells us how, he gives an outline of how we go to pray to the Father. Amen. And so, the last thing that we were on was understanding the global crisis. I think we did part of that already, that much of the body of Christ is unacquainted with the fruit God has unfolded related to this time frame. Talking about now. Job 2:11 says, "For the days of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it?" And Matthew 24:21, write these verses down so you can check me. says, for then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So Jesus spoke of a generation that would endure tribulations unlike any other time in history, beginning with Enoch, who lived long before Abraham and Moses. God began to give revelation of this future day in Jude Jude 14 and 15. Let's look at that. Jude 1:14-15. It says, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. So, from the Psalms to the major, minor prophets to the New Testament, including the book of Revelation, there is more information concerning this time in history than any other time frame. And yet, the body of Christ is unacquainted with the fruit God has unfolded related to this time frame. Remind me of the days of Moses. I mean, not the days of Moses, the day of Noah. You remember when Noah was building that ship? And they didn't have no rain back in those days for 120 years. He was building that thing, I believe it's 120 years. And he was preaching the word. And the people, they laughed at him because he was building a ship. Then there was no rain. And Noah was following the instructions that God had given him. And he got the instruction, I mean specific instructions, like get two of every kind of animal. And that's what he did. He did everything. He got the food that they needed for those long, I don't forget how long they was in, 40 nights and 40 days in that ship. And I guess he had to get all the food and all the stuff. And it just reminds me of that day, because when you start teaching people, start telling people about the kingdom, you know, people looking at us like we're crazy. And even though it's in the Word of God, you know, and it's like, you know, we're preaching that and teaching the kingdom, that people will get this before it's too late. Before God, like Noah, he shut that door. It was too late once he shut that door. But Noah was preaching for 120 years while he was building the ship. My. And so, that's what this reminds me of. And we're talking about these days and crisis and global crisis. And the Bible tells us that this is, in Matthew 24, it talks about, yeah, there's going to be rumors of wars and this and that. And, you know, men being with men, women being with women. Talk about all this stuff that's been prophesied that's going to happen. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. People's love is going to wax cold. And scriptures tells us those things too. And how people think they're going to be ever learning, but never coming to the truth. And, you know, and it tells you all these different things that people are going to be doing in these days, which we are in the last days, by the way. And, but the scriptures in Matthew 24 says it's only the beginning of sorrow. only the beginning. So, let's move on from that. So, most believers, as though it will, and most people live as though it, they, you know, these things are not so. You know, that it will never come, although it is beyond the scope of this scripture or the chapter to delve in. The scripture details of the period leading up to the second coming. It is helpful to identify four specific sources which overlap to produce worldwide crisis on the earth. God's zeal for righteousness, as expressed through his temporal judgment. Satan, here they go. Satan's rage, man's sin, and creation's wrong. It's through his temporal judgment, Satan's rage, man's sin, through these four sources, specific forces, and creation's wrong. So these factors work together under God's sovereignty and wisdom. So it looked like, you know, it don't look like that. We win and do. But we know what the end of the book say, right? Do we believe it? Because Satan raging, man sinning, they look like they winning, don't they? It looks like, that's why we walk not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. And creation's groaning. So they're working together under what? God's sovereignty and wisdom. So God's still in control. Some just going to be under judgment and some going to be under God's favor. So God judges, judgments are motivated by his zeal for purity and his people. That's why God's judgments are motivated. It's by his zeal for purity in his people. It seems like we've been talking about righteousness all week. That's all I've been hearing. Righteousness. God is looking for righteous people. But not unrighteous, righteous. So the church is quick to talk about Satan's role and even sinful man's role, but we are hesitant and uncertain about God's role in causing crisis. So some of these crises, is God caused them because it's a judgment. So God's role is to oppose every operation of his enemy, which is sin. Even the chosen nation, Israel, made herself God's enemy by living in sin. When we live in sin, we make ourselves God's enemy. But they rebelled, grieved his Holy Spirit, so he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. My. Whoa. Yeah, we talked about that last week. So this is what God will do. He will destroy sin's tyranny over the kingdom of the world and establish a kingdom of righteousness that will never end in Revelation 11:15. He will dispense wrath upon the wicked, and he will discipline those in the church who are in rebellion in order to bring them into purity. Now, when Jesus split the sky at his second coming and descend without a shout, he will forcefully remove all things that offend. My. And he will have a bride who is spotless. And yes, and I do remember ending with that last week, that agreement with darkness, and we got to remember this, even when practiced by those who know Jesus, result in an adversarial relationship with the Holy One of Israel. So it is clear about this, that adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God. It is clear that the Lamb of God, who is the one opening the seal and orchestrating the event described in the book of Revelation. Yet God's role in judgment is very controversial, even within the church. His purpose in judgment is to remove everything that hinders love. He takes no pleasure in pouring out his judgment on the wicked. He will destroy sin, my, over the kingdoms of this world. So, a lot of people don't think that these 70 crises come from God, and some people do blame God. They blame God for everything. But a lot of this is because of our own choosing. We didn't choose life. We choose death if you got the wrath of God on you. My. So, the other thing is Satan rage. Satan rages causes great turmoil on the earth within the boundaries that God set. See, you can't go no further than God allowed him, okay? So as the hour of his condemnation becomes imminent, Satan will unleash his fury against the nation of Israel and all those who follow the Lamb. That's including us. As described in Revelation 12:12, write the verses down, which says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." Okay? My. Now, man, sin, the most terrifying problem that a nation and sin will face is God. That is a far more threatening problem than Satan's attack. My. Natural disasters or the plots of terrorists. Men can use their free will to harm one another. Yes, we went over that last week too. They are responsible for the wars and acts of violence that are multiplied in these days. Yes. So Mickey, that's what I'm saying. We blame God for that, but it's this man knowing it to himself. So creation groans and travails. We see this manifested in the earth, violent weather, patterns, and more. There is a mysterious but glorious connection between the actions of human race and the condition of natural creation, such as islands and vegetation. When Adam's sin, a curse came upon the land in Genesis 3, verses 17 and 18, that curse had been escalating as man's sin escalated. My. So the earth's convulsion will increase as sin ripens. My. Now, the response that God requires, there, right there at the top of your paper, because the response that God requires of us, God is called the entire human race to repentance. It is particularly important, however, to have clarity regarding the church response, because we are the first line of defense in the day of shaking. Make a note of that. The church is the first line of defense in the day of shaking. The church are the people of God. And it looks like to be, I ain't saying everybody, but majority of the church today look like they've been colonized by the world. We supposed to colonize the earth with the kingdom culture, but it looks like the world has colonized the church with the worldly system. My. Not everybody, because he do have his raiment. My. So God says, this is what God's his response. He's looking for this response from us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray my faith and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's 2 Chronicles 7:14. So Peter, he also expressed this in 1 Peter 4:16-18. For the time has come for judgment to begin where? At the house of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? My. So the church, as the covenant people in the land, is most responsible for heaven to cry out. Most responsible before heaven to cry out, the church, the people of God. Stand in the gap and oppose sin. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the response God is looking for. That we are responsible before heaven to do what? Cry out, stand in the gap, and oppose sin. Those are note. This is what God is requiring of us, the church, not us elite people, you know, special warriors and all those things. No. We've all been called to pray. And so make a note of that. Furthermore, in the midst of the end times, the condition of the nations will rapidly disintegrate into chaos. And we're seeing that right before our faces right now. All you got to do is look at the news and look all around us. As famine, pestilence, deception, and conflict all escalate, multitudes will be stricken with fear and confusion and rage. That's what we're saying. And this torment of despair and depravity, the redeemed must arise. The redeemed must arise. We can't sit around not saying nothing. We can't sit around with our mouth shut. We must be preaching and teaching this kingdom. We must just go in there and rescue as many souls as we can. They said we're going to get them all. But we're going to take the net and let it scrape across this earth with the kingdom message, preaching and teaching it, and as many as we can. My. So, we must arise. That's another response God is looking for. What we saying out our mouth? How are we preaching and teaching the kingdom? How are we the laborers that he's sending out? Are we prepared? Are we ready? Because the harvest is ready. And it's ripe. And I heard it's rotten too. So, with hearts emboldened by confidence in the word of God, full of love for Jesus, we will lead the groping throngs to the truth of the gospel. Open your mouth, preach the truth, because the truth is what sets and makes people free. It makes people free. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart. With what? Fasting and weeping, with mourning. So rend your heart, not your garment. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? My. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and nursing babes. Let the priests weep between the porches and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. That's in Job 2, verses 12-17. So during crisis, God requires a specific response from his people. And we see that in Job 2:12-17, which I just read. God tells us exactly what we are to receive, his mercy and deliverance. Call solemn assemblies, turn to him, and rend or tear our hearts in repentance and believe in his kindness and mercy. My. There's a lot of us, we just go around on our daily, mundane things, and we're not taking this serious. God has given us instruction what we should be doing. Because what happened in Job is parallel to what's happening right now. His answer for today's crisis is the same as what he spoke in Job's generation when Babylon invasion was encroaching. This is the clearest passage in the Word that describes what God desires of the church in times of local or national crisis. So God giving us what to do in the scriptures. My. So as the global drama unfolds at the end of the age, the body of Christ has a clear roadmap. What a holy boldness this brings. I hope you see the holy boldness. We can act with certainty in times of crisis. That's a note right there. Just because this crisis stuff is going on, all this stuff we hear in the news, you know, with things about the same-sex marriages can marry and all those things, even though we still are to love the people, but we just hate the sin, but love the people. My. So what it says, we can act with certainty in times of crisis, not run around like we don't know what we're doing. You know, what we going to do, you know, in panic mode. No. God is telling us. He shows us what we're supposed to be doing. And he tells us and he warns us ahead of time before things happen. He even says in John, let's turn here, John 16, verse 33. I like to read that one in Amplified because he says, "Didn't I tell you?" Jesus speaking now. Okay, he says, "Didn't I tell you?" Yes, Lord. Yes, you told us. We just didn't open the Word like we supposed to, or we ain't take it seriously. I said John 16, verse 33. Look, all throughout the scripture, Jesus is warning us about things, you know, giving us the grace, the wisdom how to deal with stuff. 16:33. John 16:33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And when I read that in the Amplified, it talks about, at the last part it says, "And I have overcome," he said, "I've taken the sting out of it, the world, for you." My. Glory, glory, glory. So God is telling us already, he keeps warning us, that in this world we're going to have trials, we're going to have tribulation, we're going to have crisis, and he shows us the thing that's going to happen. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, this happened, he warns us in Romans 1, about the men being with men, women being with women. We shouldn't, you know, they did this in Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? And sometimes I think that we're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes. Because the scriptures even tell you it's going to get worse and worse. So we might as well just accept it. We're going to get worse and worse. Amen. So the Sodom assemblies, we must be clear on the importance of corporate dimensions of prayer. You got to be clear. And fasting. You know, the corporate prayer and fasting. We got to be clear of the dimensions of it. Joel identifies this critical component as he entreated the people to corporately cry out to God. Net specific. Specifically, entreat the people to corporately cry out to God. And so I don't see a lot of that going on these days. This page, the passage along with Joel, let's turn to 1, Joel 1, verses 13 and 14. Joel. Old Testament Joel. Joel 1, verses 13 and 14. Let's take a look at that. It says, "Gird yourself and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God." 14. "Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord." And cry unto the Lord. Yes, you can't go wrong because you're doing what the word of God says. Amen. So the emphasis of the scope of this gathering, the situation demands that all the people, including the elders, the children, and even the bridegroom and the bride, be summoned to this holy convocation. Implicates in this comprehensive call is the sacred and sober nature of the assembly. I mean, we're in trouble. You know, this calls for everybody's attention. Everybody. Not just a specific prayer warrior group, you know. We're all to pray as priests, royal priesthood, to pray, cry out to God on behalf, and stand in the gap, fasting in prayer. So when we gather in the wake of calamity or in preparation for what is pending, we must do so in a posture of humility and lamentation. Through the prophet Joel, the Lord instructed people to fast, mourn, and those who minister to him to weep in intercession all night long. So it's not enough to casually meet and casually pray. When disaster strikes, and as we look towards the severity of the days ahead, we must set aside all distractions. We must set aside all distractions and throw our hearts into groaning and travail in one accord, beseeching the Lord to have mercy. So, rendering our hearts in order for fasting and corporate intercessory worship to be effective, it must be embraced by a wholehearted people. To rend means to tear something violently or forcibly. So when we violently tear our hearts away from our sin, we line up with what God requires. That's a note right there. When we violently tear our hearts away from areas of sin, we line up with God, with what God requires. Traditionally, ancient people would tear their garments to show their grief and desperation. When God desires the tearing of the heart in Job 2:13, he is speaking of radical spiritual violence towards all that separates us from him. Y'all hear that? It's not talking about go rent your clothes, okay, your garments. He is speaking of radical spiritual violence towards all that separates us from him. Okay? So Matthew 11:12, it talks about that. Let's turn to 11:12. Matthew 11:12. Turn there. I ain't going to be before y'all too long. Almost finished here. Matthew 11:12. And it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And so this violence that he's talking about is not renting your clothes or fighting. It's talking about us doing exactly what God says and fight of what our flesh want to do. Joel essentially cried out, tear your heart open. Fear not. If there is an issue in your life that quenches the Holy Spirit, get rid of it. Speaking symbolically of this radical tearing, Jesus said, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. In Matthew 5:29-30, that's where quoted at. He was talking about a radical pursuit of righteousness. Y'all hear that? Say that again. That's a note. When he talks about that in Matthew 5:29-30, I would put right next to that. He's talking about a radical pursuit of righteousness. My. Righteousness is our dominion. A radical pursuit of righteousness that painfully tears the heart in the process of repentance. See the difference in tearing garment and then tearing your heart? Because that flesh don't want to die. So in other words, we are to forsake all compromise. That's a note right there. In other words, we are to forsake all compromises that is not pursuing righteousness. All compromises, no matter what the cost. Okay? No matter what the cost. As Westerners, we hope for a wholeheartedness that is gentle, easy, and tame. But there is usually pain involved in cooperating with the Lord to pull out the root system of bondage in our lives. You hear that? There is usually pain involved in cooperating with the Lord to pull out the root system of bondage in our lives. That is, that's something. That flesh do not want to die. Some would prefer not to have to change their lifestyle or the way they spend time in their quest for freedom and holiness. They're going to do it their way. They're not going to do it God's way, according to his agenda, according to his plan. And that's why he said in Matthew 7, with the 7:21-23, let's look at that. And this is why he said that. Because people still want to, they don't want to change their lifestyle or the way they spend time. And in Matthew 7:21-23, he's talking to believers. And you're going to know in a minute because here it goes. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. In 23, and then will I prophesy unto them. This is Jesus saying. He said, now they said, well, they prophesied in his name. He said, and then I, not prophesy, that's profess. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And that's doing, they're doing iniquity. The iniquity is you're doing stuff that God did not authorize. You're doing it your way. You're not doing it his the way he wanted you to do it. We done picked up the tradition of man and the religious system way of doing it. But that's not what the way God wants us to do it. And so there's going to be people, believers, who's going to hear these horrible words if they don't repent. My. You don't want to change. They don't want to change their lifestyle or the way they spend time in their quest for freedom and holiness. See, their quest. They have leaned to their own understanding, and they are not acknowledging God in all their ways, that he may direct their path. You know how we think we grown. We nobody telling us not what to do. Well, you're going to be in trouble. You must submit to his lordship. We want the Lord to cause our problems to evaporate without any cost or struggle, without the pain or tearing our hearts. Yes. See, we do not mind fasting a few meals or giving a few hours to cry out in the prayer room, but we usually overlook the necessity of tearing our hearts because we don't want the pain of such an intimate, personal rending. So God is against much of what the church labels as having our liberty and God's grace. God is against that. So many of the liberties that the church fights for as the very thing God is fighting against. Come on. My Lord. So the way we spend time and money, the way we seek honor, the way we speak, relate, and show our bitterness all shows evidence that we have not torn away from that which hinder us in God. God the Father's heart was torn when he gave his only son as a sacrifice for sin. And it continues to be torn in his patient, long-suffering with his people as they refuse to respond with repentance. And the scriptures tells us in Acts, let's go to Acts 17, verse 28. And this is what God's requirement for mankind today. Now, this is in the New Testament. So anybody got something to say about the Old Testament? Here we go. And you got to learn how to not negate the scriptures, and we got to figure out how they all fit together. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And that's in the Word, too. Hebrews, I believe. 17:28. And it says, verse 30. And the time of this ignorance God winked at, talking about before. But now he commanded all men everywhere to do what? Repent. And repent means to change your thinking. Change the way you think. Change and return from your wicked ways. So it's your thinking. Your ways won't change until your thinking has changed. I'm gonna finish. Jesus tore his heart when he went to the cross. It's not a mystery why God wants us to tear our heart. It's not a mystery. He wants us to tear our hearts in love. How? For him. In love for him. So he tears his own heart in his pursuit after us. He has proven that this love and to participate in the fullness of fasting and prayer is in solemn assemblies, our own hearts must be torn. Amen. That's all I have for tonight. That when we're still talking about the fasting and the praying, but God wants us to see how we are supposed to respond. How we're supposed to respond in global, local, national, or global crisis. In our own personal life and, you know, nationally, local, communities, whatever is going on, God wants us to respond in such a way. And the first two notes we took is that God wants to cooperate with mankind. That's the only way he can do it, is to cooperate with mankind, because he designed it that way, that his will be done in the earth, and that the importance of prayer is the most important activity of humanity. So prayer, fasting, corporate prayer, fasting, solemn assembly. When we're having these global crises and crises in your life, is how God wants us to respond. Not no panic button. Know what to do. First of all, these are supposed to be fasting, prayer, and worship, and, you know, these things are supposed to be a lifestyle for us. But since we don't always do this lifestyle, God has given us a prescription from the scripture how we are to respond to global, personal, local, national, community crisis. It's through prayer, fasting, crying out to him, taking time to be alone with God. God has told us what to do. Now it's up to us to do it. Amen. Praise be to God. I thank God for this here, because I've learned a lot myself. The lines are open. Anybody have any comments, questions, any thoughts? I'm sharp enough. My. Lines open. Yeah, glory to God. Amen. Anybody get anything tonight? They learn anything? Say hello. Thank you all for being here. All the lines are open. Anybody on any other devices, you can call in 760-283-0834, 760-283-0834. Prayer requests. Something we all could be praying for. Amen. I'm going to close out in prayer. Anybody have anything to say? Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise
your
Holy Name. Amen. Anybody want to lead in prayer?
Hallelujah.
No. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We praise your God. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We cry out to you tonight on behalf of the world that we live in.
Hallelujah.
All kinds of things in the earth tonight. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. And that you've given us these instructions and descriptions in the midst of the storm. Life, Lord God, we praise you, we thank you. Oh, the peace
Hallelujah.
That the world can give us. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord, for the strength. And the joy of the Lord is our strength, and as we come in your presence and get your wisdom and instruction and how we respond, oh God, we thank you, we give you glory and honor. Oh, Lord, we praise you. The prayer for healing and the men and women, Lord, who don't know their true identity, Lord. We continue to lift them up, Lord God, for those you have already prayed for. You already prayed for those who will hear the words that we speak, Lord God, to them that they will believe, God. So we pray for those who have not entered your kingdom, we pray that they would enter, Lord God, that their ears would be healed and their eyes would see, Lord God. We pray for the many souls that are out there that have not entered, the sheep that have not entered your fold yet, Lord. We call on you and we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord, for their entering, Lord God, as we preach and teach the kingdom as you instructed us to. So have your mighty way in us, Lord God. Have your mighty way in us, the laborers that you're sending out into the field, that we would decree and declare a thing, Lord, that it shall be established in the lives of those who we reach out to, Lord God, and that will receive your engrafted word, which is able to save their very soul, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. We decree healing. We decree deliverance. We decree, Lord God, that lives would be changed. Communities would be changed. As many as we can reach, Lord God, that we would rescue those who need rescue, God. And so we praise you, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. We pray for those churches, brothers and sisters, that are still sitting under religion and tradition of men. Who have now no idea, Lord God, that you would deliver them, Lord God. Give them ears that they will hear when we preach the kingdom and teach the kingdom. Eyes that they will see the truth, Lord, and search it out for themselves, Lord God. That they will seek your kingdom first and Lord God, that you would fill them, Lord God. You said they should hunger and thirst after righteousness, that you would fill them, Lord God. We pray for this hunger, that a tsunami of hunger and thirst after righteousness, Lord God, that you may fill them, Lord God. So have your way in our families, in our communities, in our churches, Lord God, in our workplace, Lord God, everywhere that we may go, Lord God, we will be a light in the dark world, that we will be salt in the earth, Lord God. Have your mighty way in God, Lord. That we would all pray, Lord God, in our secret closets and in our corporate time together, Lord God, that we would not be afraid to open up our mouths, Lord God, and that we would talk to our Father, that we would present our case before him, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you would have your mighty way, Lord God. We pray your will be done. We pray for who claim to be born a certain way, men with men and women with women, Lord God. We pray you would just scramble delusion, Lord God, and illusion, Lord, that the enemy has planted in their minds, Lord God, that some people have come out of this, Lord God, and that they will come out, Lord God. You say, come out from among them. Separate. So have your in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we will stand in the gap, Lord God, for those to be delivered who has been sucked in the name of Jesus, Lord God. They've been sucked in all this deception and craftiness that the enemy has set up, God's people, even the elect, Lord God, shall be deceived. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord God, that a people would be delivered, that people would hear, Lord God, have ears to hear. Set the Spirit of God, move by the Spirit, Lord, lives of the people, Lord God, supernaturally, Lord, rescue them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you're going to use us, Lord God, to just neighbors that you're coming out to the field, Lord God. Have your mighty way, have your mighty way, Lord God. That have sin in their lives, that they would repent, that we would repent of our ways that is not pleasing in your sight, the sin that you reveal to us, that we repent of our own stuff, Lord God, that we get the tree trunk out of our eyes before we try to get the splinter out of our brother's eyes, Lord God. So have your mighty way in each and every one of us tonight. We pray that your will be done. I pray for those who need healing and deliverance, Lord, physically, spiritually, mentally, Lord God. We pray that healing, that by your stripes, Lord, we have been healed. Jesus carried our sickness and infirmity. We cast out our spirits. We cast out all spirits of infirmity that would attack our bodies in the name of Jesus. We have your way. Body of Christ. We break and rebuke and cast out any spirits of cancer that would attempt to establish itself in our lungs, our bones, our breath, our throat, our back, spine, livers, and kidneys, our pancreas, and skin, or stomach in the name of Jesus. We rebuke and cast out all spirits causing diabetes, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart attack, kidney failures, and leukemia, blood disease, and breathing Alzheimer or insomnia in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and strength into our bones, muscles, our joints and our organs, our head, eyes, throat and glands, our blood, marrow, lungs, our kidneys, livers and spleen, spine, and pancreas, eyes, bladder, ears, nose, sinuses, our mouth and tongue and feet in the name of Jesus. I loose us from all heart attacks rooted in fear, and I command all spirits of fear to leave in Jesus' name. I loose us from all diabetes rooted in rejection, self-hatred, inheritance, and guilt, and I command these spirits to come out in the name of Jesus. I loose us from all cancer rooted in bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, slander of the tongue, and I command these spirits to come out in the name of Jesus. I loose us from lupus rooted in self-rejection, self-hatred, and guilt. I cast these spirits out in the name of Jesus. I loose us from all mental scourges rooted in self-hatred, guilt, and rejection from the Father, and I have cast these spirits out in the name of Jesus. I loose us from rheumatoid arthritis that is rooted in self-hatred, low self-esteem. I command these spirits come out in the name of Jesus. I loose us from high cholesterol that is rooted in anger, hostility, and command these spirits to come out in the name of Jesus. I loose us from all sinus problems rooted in fear, anxiety, and I command these spirits to come out in the name of Jesus. Go. You must come now in the name of Jesus. You have no authority here. In the name of Jesus, I loose us from all high blood pressure rooted in fear and anxiety. I command these spirits to come out in the name of Jesus. I loose us from asthma rooted in fear concerning relationships in the name of Jesus. I loose us from a weakened immune system that is rooted in a broken heart. And I command these spirits to come out in the name of Jesus. I loose us from all stroke rooted in self-rejection, self-bitterness, and self-hatred. And I command these spirits to come out in the name of Jesus. I loose us from all bone diseases rooted in envy and jealousy. I command these spirits to come out in the name of Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, for allowing any fear, guilt, self-rejection, self-hatred, unforgiveness, bitterness, sin, pride, or rebellion to open the door any sickness of infirmity. I renounce these things in the name of Jesus. I cast out any spirit of infirmity that came into our life through pride in the name of Jesus. I cast out any spirit of infirmity that came into our life through trauma or accidents in the name of Jesus. I cast out any spirit of infirmity that came into our life through rejection in the name of Jesus. I cast out any spirit of infirmity that came into our life through witchcraft in the name of Jesus. Give us a sound heart. The life of our flesh. Remove from our hearts any evil or sinful attitude. Lord, remove any darts from our liver. Heal and deliver us from all pain in the name of Jesus. I rebuke any sickness that will come to eat up my flesh, including cancer, in the name of Jesus. Let no evil disease, thing or veil, cleave to my body. I break all curses of sickness and diseases, and I command all hereditary spirits of sickness to come out. I break all curses of premature death and destruction in the name of Jesus. I prosper and walk in health, even as our soul prospers in the name of Jesus. We receive the word of God, which is health to our flesh. Lord, bless our bread and water and take sickness away from us. I command every organ of our bodies to function the way God intended it. Our bones are fat because we receive good report of the gospel. Lord, keep all our bones. Lord, let every tumor or evil growth melt at the presence of God. Let any infection in our body be burned by the fire of God. I release us from all allergies and sinus problems in the name of Jesus. I pray for our arteries and blood vessels to be open and our circular system to function properly in the name of Jesus. I rebuke all fevers in the name of Jesus. Our flesh shall be fresher than a child, and we will return to the days of our youth. I pray for our immune system to be strengthened in the name of Jesus. Lord, renew our youth like the eagle. Live and not die. We will proclaim the name of Jesus. Our beauty shall be as the olive tree. Lord, you heal all our diseases. Lord, you are the health of our continent. Heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. Hallelujah. Let your virtue touch our life and heal us, Lord. Release the fire of God to burn out any sickness or diseases that will operate in our bodies in the name of Jesus. No sickness or plague will come near our dwelling. Jesus, arise over our life with healing in your wings. Lord, the Lord is the strength of our life. Hallelujah. I command every germ or sickness in our body to die. I take the shield of faith, every fiery dart of the enemy, in the name of Jesus. We are redeemed from sickness and diseases. Every plague is stopped when God nears us through the atonement of Jesus Christ. I loose us from every infirmity. Jesus Christ makes us whole. I am fearfully, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Let our body function in a wonderful way you designed it, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing. Thank you, Lord, for healing us from infirmities that we didn't even notice in there. Lord, that we didn't notice there, Lord, until it show up. Lord, we thank you for burning it out. We thank you for casting out all the infirmities in our bodies, even the ones that we may not have named here tonight. But, Lord, we thank you that you are the one that heals us. Jehovah Rapha, the great physician who is able to heal us physically, spiritually, and mentally. We thank you for your healing power. We thank you, Lord, for demonstrating your power, that the kingdom is not in word, but it is in power, Lord. So we praise you. We thank you that as your virtue reaches out through these technologies, Lord God, and touches people's lives, Lord God, that they'll be healing tonight. Healing, Lord God, as they receive by faith, Lord God, by faith. faith that we would, our faith makes us whole. And so, Lord, I pray by the Spirit of God that you would have your mighty way in our brothers and our sisters. I decree and declare that those are plagued with evil spirits be delivered and healed as they submit to the King of Kings. I cancel all the plans and forces of evil sent against their lives. Let the work of evil be burned by your holy fire. Let men repent of evil and return to righteousness. I decree that no evil be established in us, in our lives, but your righteousness be established, Lord. I loose us from all evil doers and evil soul ties in the name of Jesus. Have your mighty way, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for our healing for Christ's sake, Lord God. For Christ's sake, you heal us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thy will be done in our lives. Thy will be done. Have your mighty way, Lord. We're going to be careful to give you praise, all honor and glory, which rightfully belong unto you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thy will be done. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Anybody else want to pray? Go ahead. Have your mighty way, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. 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 We still have time. Does somebody want to pray? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm gonna close out. I'm gonna say thank you all for attending. Lord willing, we'll do this again next Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Please join us on Friday. My sister April Johnson will be ministering on Friday at 8 o'clock on the same number, 760-283-0834. Please join us. She's a great teacher, and be ready to have your pencils, papers, and Bible with some good notes. Amen. I'm going to say good night to everybody. God bless you all. Thanks for attending.
Are you driven by a passion to discover your divine destiny, ready to discover your purpose and fulfill your God-given potential? You can at Church on the Mall, the Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Sundays at 9 a.m. Rediscover the kingdom and discover your purpose, identity, and divine destiny. For more information, call 267-357-9816. The kingdom of God is now eternal, and it's your time. Don't miss your moment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will supply your needs. See you at Church on the Mall this Sunday at 9 a.m. The Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Cheltenham Avenue and Washington Lane. It's your time for change. For more information, call 267-357-9816.
This is Dr. Lynn Robinson, and I approve this message.
This message paid for by the faithful supporters of Kingdom Vision Ministries International, the Kingdom Church on the Mall. Live the kingdom-driven life now.